Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Because this is a really important day, I just want to say before we get Josiah and Bella up here, I just love this couple. And I know our church loves this couple. And yeah, you can clap them if you want, you know. When we rocked up here a couple of years ago, you know, they were looking after the youth, and I think they were a bit apprehensive with us at first. Fair enough. But we've just seen incredible growth in them. And I was talking just to Josiah's dad and mum beforehand, because they're here, and I said, I've never met a young man that's just been so passionate about the gospel from such a young age to know that he's called to the ministry. And you hear Josiah preach, and he talks about when he's like 14 and 13 and stuff. I'm like, man, I didn't get it till I was in my 30s, you know? But I love that, and this has been a call on his life ever since that day. It's a significant day for both Josiah and for Bella. They do an incredible job looking after our youth team, and this means, like, from today, we can call them pastors, right?
We can.
Which is like, so when you see them, hello, pastor, right? You know.
But I think what's also beautiful is some of the people that I was talking to before the service is, particularly Josiah, you grew up in this house, you know, and so many of this church have watched you grow up. And so I know actually for everyone, it's a really special day because they've watched the call of God on your life and they've watched you grow in your ministry and just as a man of God. And so I know it's actually a significant day for all of us as we...
Particularly like Danny Lambert and stuff, because they talk about how he used to rock up at their house and eat all the cheese. That's all I remember.
Yeah, he was in a life group that would eat all the cheese.
You know, you've come a long way. Right, it's very good. But anyway, we want to get you guys up and we want to get Gary and Terry up as well. Can you give them a massive round of applause? Get these guys in the centre, guys. Gary, I want you to maybe explain a bit more from INC's perspective on what's happening today, and we want to be praying for these guys.
Very cool. Very, very cool. What a great day. And it is one of the greatest things I get to do. Something that, as you said, about from a young age, you've recognized something special about a call on your life. And I've got good news for you. It wasn't from your young age. The Bible tells me that you have been called because of a grace that's of God that is on you since before time even began. That Jesus Christ had called you guys, saved you and called you. And here's something for us to recognize, church, with a holy calling. Something from God. There's a call on every one of our lives, but there is something that God does when he puts his hand on a man and or a woman and said, these are ones that I've called to be separated to the work of the ministry. And I'm going to ask, as we pray for you this morning, I'm going to ask the church, and you know, one of the things, even that's a great thing, that you've grown up here and everybody knows you, could I encourage you not to know them after how you've known them? God recognizes a holy call on their life, and so should we. We'll still be Aussies and muck around with you, that's for sure. But there's something holy about it. And sometimes, you know, when we see people and we get familiar with them, we don't honor the call. We want to honor that call today. The Bible says that in the book of Ephesians, that Christ gave gifts to the church. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. And so, church, we need to celebrate this couple as a gift of God to us for the work of the ministry. So my job here today is a great job, is to recognize that on behalf of the movement of INC, the denomination of INC, that whilst you're set apart for the work in Beacon Church, the denomination recognizes the call of God upon your life. And we join with your pastors to celebrate that and to do all we can to support you, help grow you, and bless you in this journey that, I remind you again, was God's idea before the beginning of time. So forget the 14-year-old stuff. It's a lot older than that. We take it seriously, and so what I do have is something we call our ordination pledge here, because God takes it seriously. And Paul tells us in the book of Timothy, he says that those who aspire to eldership in the church seek an honourable position. He goes on to set forth certain qualifications for those who would take on such a position. And these include living a life to the best of your ability above reproach, to be remaining faithful to your spouse, to be one who has self-control and of good reputation, to be hospitable and able to teach others. You must not be heavy drinkers nor violent, rather that you should be gentle. Should not be lovers of money nor proud, but you must be attentive to your own family. And as you both have sought this honourable position, I'm going to ask that you commit to live your life to these standards to the best of your ability. Are you prepared to make that commitment? Thank God they said yes, eh? Fantastic. So we're going to pray for you right now. Why don't you stand over there so that everybody can see? Because if we don't stand you in the right place, it doesn't work. You guys come over here. I just asked your sister to give me some oil. You know, there's some precedent in the Bible that says when somebody is being separated, Old Testament and New Testament, they would lay hands on them, they would anoint them. I'm going to speak a little bit about anointing later. But the anointing represents the presence of God to enable you to work out that which He's called you to. And I'm going to believe with Terry and your pastors and your brothers and sisters here that today is a special day, that the anointing that is obviously on your life would be increased, and that the enabling of God's Spirit would be even more powerful upon you as you move forward from this day. Do you want to pray, love?
Am I on? Yes. Josiah, I just felt that I see a Samuel, a prophetic call on you. And like Samuel, he was called from a very young age. And I just sense that God is going to enable you to step into a full stature of the prophetic, even on both of you. And like Samuel, he went around and anointed leaders. He anointed David. But I just see that you're going to have an eye to call out leaders, because we are in need of young leaders who will lead according to the ways of God in this generation. So I just sense that over you, and I just want to pray that. And also, I just see that God is going to cloak you with a new blanket, which is representative of a new anointing. Set apart of the old has gone, the old of people seeing you as familiar, as seeing as young kids growing up. There's going to be you're going to carry a stature. And it's got nothing to do with pride, but it's full of humility, because you're going to cloak yourself in that new anointing, and it's going to be seen, and it's going to bear fruit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, why don't we stand for 1 minute? Why don't, as a mark of honour, stretch forth our hands, and as I pray, that we would recognise the call of God upon your life. It's a humbling thing, hey? But we're recognising that today. Not of yourself. It's according to His grace and His purpose, which He determined in Christ Jesus before time began, for this day. And so, Father, right now, we lay our hands on this couple. We honour them. We respect them. And, Father, right now, we place our hands on them. And, Lord, as the oil is on my hands, let it represent the empowering of your Spirit upon their lives right now. Father, that every provision is in your anointing. Every enabling, everything they need for this holy call is found in you. And Father, right now, we honor them, we honor the call, and we ask, Father, that your hand would be upon them. Right now, as my hand is upon you, sense the hand of your Father, the hand of blessing, the hand of calling, that this isn't a man's calling, it's a calling of God. And right now, afresh, He places His hand upon you and He says, I have called you. I've called you, and him who I have called, I will enable, I will grace and I will empower in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen and amen. Wow, why don't we give him a great hand this morning?
Well, you can take a seat, and I'm going to leave Gary up here as he brings the word.
Thank you. If I can just get everything ready here. Man, I've got to talk to the leaders around this place. I said, can you give me some oil? This thing's pretty tight around here. This thing... When I'm in oil, I mean, let's drip it on out. Let's splash them. I'm flat out getting a drop out of this little thing here. Anyway, I'm going to keep it. So good to have you here. If you're family and friends of these guys, thank you for coming. I mean, a very, very special time here. And maybe you're here. It doesn't matter whether you're 14, 40, 104. God could call you. I look at my old mate Rob over here. Hey. Called of God since forever ago. He's older than I am. Talking to I think I was talking to Bella's parents outside. They said, how long have you been doing this thing? Too long. No, not really. Actually, we've got to remember, we've got to go back in our diaries. 30 years this month coming. We've been in ministry. And yeah, I know, I know. I'm only 35. 30 years, it doesn't matter how young, how old, I just believe today we need to open up our hearts to what God wants to do with our lives. I'll guarantee, maybe this guy was 14, maybe you're 40, it doesn't matter, but if anybody that'll say yes to the call of God upon our life, and maybe you've seen what Josiah and Bella have given their lives to, never say never for yourself, eh? Pastors will come out of this church. I just make that up. I believe that. I believe that. Churches will come out of this church. More churches will come out of this church. I look at even some of the older pastors around here that have been and serving God forever and a day. And it just does my heart good to be part. That's why we keep coming back, hey? It's not because we're invited at all. Beacon. Guiding, there it is, people home. I want to speak about that this morning. Guiding people home. That is, there's my, I'm going to get all, I better not make a big deal of my granddaughter. She's going to. Guiding people home. Is that what we're called to do? I mean, how many people believe that the world today needs guidance? Needs some idea of what true north might look like. What the questions that the world is presenting these days needs some guidance. And as I was just thinking and praying this week about your new name, even though it's a few months old now and it's old news, there's something about being a light to people, isn't there? I believe people need a light. I said this morning, and this I haven't got the notes on this on your screen, but in the book of Genesis, right back in the account of creation, the Bible, one of the accounts in that chapter, chapter 1, God talks about creating light. And it says he made two lights. He made a light for the day and he made a light for the night. But it says that both of those lights had a purpose. And the purpose was to separate light from darkness. How many know that the world needs some light today? The world, not that the world needs a church, a people that will be able to shed light on their circumstance. Who's with me? It's you and it's me today that God has called us. It's interesting that even symbolically you can, and many theologians have, They've likened the two lights to the light that the sun, the major light, the emanator of light, to be representative of Christ himself. How many know he is the light of the world? In him there is no darkness at all. But the moon, the other light, the light that shines at night, is not a light that has its own light, if you like. It reflects the light of the sun. That's the role of the church. The role of the church is not to emanate light. The role of the church is to reflect the light of Christ onto the world. When the sun goes down in the natural and can be seen no more, the moon reflects light in the darkness. And I believe the role of the church is to reflect the light of Christ into a world that's darkened by so many things in this day and age. And I want to share a little bit about that this morning, just in what Jesus Christ has called the church to do, the church to be, the church and our mission on the planet. Probably not news to you, but I just want to, I so much don't want to reflect on what we're called to do, but why we're called to do it today. Jesus, in the book of John, in every one of the Gospels, gives us a rendition of the Great Commission, the thing we call the Great Commission, to go and tell people about good news. How many people know what we carry is good news? Who believes the world's looking for some good news? I mean, God, you know, I was going to say the newspaper. I haven't had a paper for ages, you know. But, you know, you get your news feed on your device these days. You've got to go a long way to find something good to read about, haven't you? I'm going to get depressed in 5 minutes just reading all that stuff. Put it away, read my Bible. That's good news. But the world is looking for good news. Jesus says this in the book of John chapter 20 and 21. He says, "Peace be to you." I'll just stop there for 1 minute because we often skip that over. This is the time Jesus Christ has gone to the cross. He's paid the price for our sin, our wrongdoing, our waywardness. He's gone to the cross. He's risen from the dead. And he's presented himself to his disciples. Now, the first thing he says to his disciples is peace to you. I wonder why he said that. I've got my own opinion as to why he said that. Because the last time his disciples saw him, they denied him. They failed him. They ran away from him. They left him to go to a cross all on his own. They could be found nowhere. How would you like to be in that room? Where Jesus, risen from the dead, comes through the wall. And the last thing you did was let him down. Wow. Could be this week I let him down. Could be this week I didn't live up to standards. Not Rob, me. Well, I don't know why I'm stopping there right now, but you might be a person that's wondering with your life right now what God wants for your life. It may be a mess. It may seemingly have failed many times over. God wants peace for you. God does not want you scared of him. God does not want you in fear and trepidation in his presence, like I imagine these guys were. God wants peace for you. I'll just leave that right there. But there's some people here who need to hear that today. God's heart for you is to be at peace. It's not to obey the rules. It's not to be religious. It's not to be bright and shiny on the outside. His heart for you is peace. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. I would suggest to us this morning that Jesus came with a fair bit of authority and power in his life. Would you think? Some of you, I mentioned there'll be older people in the congregation this morning that will remember one of our older leaders used to say this. He had this saying, what did he say? There's not enough faith in this place to blow the fuzz off a peanut. He would always say that. I mean, how many know Jesus came with authority? How many know he came with power? He raised dead people. He healed sick people. He had compassion on lost people, on broken people. He came with some authority. But here's the deal. He didn't just come in that. He says here in the book of John, he says the same authority I come with, I give to you. As the Father sent me with the authority of heaven, the anointing of heaven, I want to send you in that same authority, in that same anointing, in that same power to make a difference on the planet today. Who's with me? I am going to figuratively, because it's so tight around here, put oil over you all today. I'm going to anoint you with that little jar. There's a drop for everybody. I'm only sort of kidding here. Have a look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16 here. Jesus, I want us to get the heart of God for the planet today. What is God's heart for the planet today? What was God's heart for the planet when he sent Jesus? You know, sometimes, and I'm a little bit of a crusader for this, I find myself when I'm living in a world that predominantly, when you look at it, it seems to be anti-Christian. Would that be right? A lot of things in the press, and you get, you know, all the things that are going on in the world. No need to talk about them. We know they're all there. And it gets me angry, and I want to beat somebody up about it, really, you know, in Jesus' name. I want to correct it. But, you know, when I read this passage of Scripture in the book of Luke, and when I read the heart of God in sending Jesus, for God so love the world. Jesus didn't come to correct the systems of the world. He didn't come to proclaim himself king and everybody had to bow down to him. He didn't come as a ruler. He came to serve people. And the Bible here in the book of Luke, after Jesus had fasted and he's about to do what Josiah and Bella have been recognized, they've been doing it, but recognizing he's about to start his public ministry. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up and read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." Jesus stands up in the synagogue and proclaims what his purpose was. I'll come back to it later. But as the Father sent me, I send you. The purpose of Jesus that he's about to declare in the synagogue, I believe, is the same purpose for you and I. And he didn't say, "I'm here to fix the world up." He said this. He said, "I'm anointed," which simply means empowered. "I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." What was the purpose of the presence of God, the anointing of God, the power of God on people's lives? Was not to correct a world system, but to bring healing to people. His heart for people, the broken of this world, the lost of this world. And he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing." I believe God wants to give the church, the people who are meant to reflect him, a fresh revelation of the anointing upon our lives, to do the same as what he did. The call. We're not called to have great big flashy buildings with thousands and thousands of people so we would be glorified, so we would have our own light. We are called to minister the heart of Jesus Christ to broken people, to reflect the heart of God. And that's what the power of God is upon our lives to do. And I want every one of us in this place leaving this morning with a sense that you are anointed to set people free from the burdens of this world in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says in the book of Acts, which I understand this church has done a series on last year, the Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be, you shall be witnesses to me all throughout the world. You are anointed with the same power that Jesus was anointed with. The Bible, Paul in Romans 1:16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. Why? For it is the power of God. I am so glad when I speak to people of Jesus Christ, I don't have to be smart. You're relieved too, eh? If I can do it, anyone can do it. Stop nodding so hard there. I'm their favorite pastor, remember? So you just, yeah, you got a real problem. Paul himself says, some of us think we've got to be something special. Paul says, I don't come with eloquence. Yeah, I proved it. I did that on purpose. That was a joke. I don't come with eloquence of speech. I don't come with eloquence of speech or of human wisdom, but I come with the power of God, that our faith may not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God to set people free. Just for a few minutes, I'm going to just pull apart this passage in Luke chapter 4 very, very quickly. Got to be at lunch by 2. So, listen to what he says. I'm anointed. Humor me this morning. So I'm anointed. What's the word anointed mean? It means to be empowered. As I said, when we lay hands on this couple this morning, it's representative of the oil. The anointing oil is representative of the presence and the authority and the power of God in our lives. And Jesus, being fully man, needed the same power you and I, the same anointing. And so Jesus comes, but his declaration is, and I love this, his declaration wasn't about some great institution, some powerful monument to man. He was anointed for people to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel, we would all know, the good news. I wonder how good the news is still to me. As I say, I've been doing this for 30 years. Still good news. Still good news every day. Jesus Christ is good news every day because I need him every day. I messed up yesterday. Terry messed up this morning. I mean, she needs him. At least I've got 24 hours up my sleeve here. I need good news. How many need good news this morning? We don't need to live in fear. We need to live in peace because we're okay with God. To declare, to bring good tidings, to tell poor people. That doesn't just mean people who have no money. Although, you could give me some if you felt to set me free. It's people who are broken. People who are, the word poor literally means the downtrodden of this world. That's the phone. Don't worry about it. Or is that my alarm? Is that when I'm due off? Right. Have you recognized that the world is full of downtrodden people? People are sharing this morning. I went in a event last weekend. I paddle an ocean ski. I think I've told you that before. I went in what was a race, but I don't think I qualified for racing. I just participated, you know. I was one of the guys that made everybody else look good. That's the call on my life, you know. And I spent a weekend away with a few guys down south doing this event, and I'm sitting after we competed one morning with another guy that I've known for a few years now, and all of a sudden, we're just the two of us, just having a conversation, and he started to tell me about the pain of his upbringing. I'm thinking, why are you telling me this? Maybe there was an anointing happening, an opportunity happening. As an eight-year-old, he was driven to the train station by his parents, who were estranged, and sent away, not knowing where he was going. 4 years. Sent to a home. Broken. He's a man now of 60, telling me about 52-year-old brokenness because of what's happened in his life. Ask me not to tell anybody, but I've just told all you. But you don't know him, so it's okay, I hope. The world is in pain. The world is looking for answers. And Jesus has anointed you and I with good news for people in pain. He's also anointed us to heal brokenhearted people. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Again, the word means healed, means to make whole. Have you noticed people's lives? They're searching for something. They're looking down every rabbit warren to find something that will make them whole. They'll sleep around, play around, do whatever around, because they're wanting to be loved and made whole. And Jesus has anointed you and I to bring healing to the hearts of people who aren't whole. Literally, the word brokenhearted means broken, shattered, broken into shivers. People who are broken in their hearts, broken in their mind, and we're anointed to bring healing. He says, I'm also anointed to bring liberty to captive people. You know, the last thing I think we should be doing is pointing out the sin of man. Instead of pointing out how bad they are, we need to aim at the captivity that their sin brings to their life. People who are caught in patterns of addictions and sins and rebellion to God. Our job is not to point out how bad the world is. Our job is to set people free from the captivity that darkness brings to their life. People who are caught up in whatever they're caught up in because of sin, yes. But Jesus didn't come to call out people. He came to heal people. He came to set people free that they wouldn't be found in the bondage of what keeps them downtrodden. But we would be able to proclaim what? Freedom. Liberty. I love, Braveheart just came back. Oh my gosh, I've got to go watch that movie this afternoon. Don't get me started. I can quote most of that movie, I tell you. Terry makes me watch it every year. Recovery. Listen to what we're anointed. Recovery of sight to the blind. That's not just the physical blind. Have you noticed that people are aimless in this world? They have no sense of vision, no sense of purpose. Sin, the world, darkness has robbed them of an expectation that life could be any better. Yeah. But Jesus said, no, I have purpose. As I said over Josiah and Bella this morning, they are saved and they are called with a holy calling, which is found in Christ Jesus before time began. And it's not just them, it's every person on the planet. Jesus Christ has purposed something for their life, but the world has robbed it. And Jesus comes and he says, we're anointed to put purpose back, to help people see again. My goodness, I'm excited about this. I'm going to go right out there and have lunch. Recovery of sight to the blind. What else? As we maybe have the musicians up and prepare to finish, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I work with people who are counselors and people who educate counselors. I work with other denominational leaders around the country. Do you know that you can wait 6 months or more to see a counselor in this country right now? Because of the magnitude of oppression and anxiety and depression in people's lives. Now, I'm not saying we don't need counselors. I'm not saying that for 1 minute. But it's a plague, the anxiety levels in people's lives. People are stressed about everything going on. Pick Terry stressed over my driving most days. Where the levels are up there. Hey, I've been caught in it myself. The levels are up there. We're oppressed. All the expectations of the world, all the pressure that we come under, it causes anxiety and depression. Jesus says, you're anointed to bring freedom to those people's minds. To bring the love of Christ into their world. To bring the heart of God into their world. And then he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what that means, really? It just means now. It just means today. He stood up and he said, right, it happens now. He was reading from a prophet in the Old Testament, but he says it's today. It's today. And as the Father sent him to preach this gospel, this good news, to heal brokenhearted people, to set at freedom those who are oppressed, Jesus said, as he sent me to do that, I'm sending you to do that. In the same authority, in the same anointing, with the same heart. Church, we'll never do it if we don't have a heart of compassion for people who are broken. The last thing we want to do is try and make people like us. Okay? What we want to do is reach people with the heart of God for their lives. Romans 10:14 says this, and I'm going to get stuck here again because I got stuck at 8 o'clock. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? What I've tried to do this morning is give us a little bit of an insight into why God sent Jesus. I guess we'd all know it if we'd been around for a while. We'd know it academically. But the real why was because of God's heart of compassion for the world, largely lost. But here's where I stumble. We think that people outside of our world know God's heart for them. They don't. They have opinions about God, the God of the rule book, the God who's ready to rain fire and brimstone down on me, the God who made all the mistakes and that's why the world's a mess. They have this concept that is so far from the heart of God. When I grew up in this nation, few decades ago now, it would have been impossible for me to grow up in Australia and not know who Jesus Christ was. I may not have followed him. I may not have known him intimately, but I would have known something of him. Easter, Christmas, I knew the story. Not so today. People do not know who God is, and they do not know his heart for them. Largely, they probably blame him for their brokenness, their mess, when in reality, he came to heal their mess. How then shall we call on him in whom they haven't believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Not someone with a microphone on a stage. Without an anointed proclaimer of good news, which is the call on each of our lives. If we can understand that where you go tomorrow, I sat on the couch last Saturday afternoon with a friend. Maybe the anointing and the presence of God was on that couch in a hotel room to minister some healing, because that was God's heart. Jesus said, the book of John, he said, don't pray, don't say 4 months and then the harvest will come. Lift up your eyes, for the harvest is already ripe. What's he saying? If you'll just look, you'll find brokenness. You'll find the poor. You'll find those who are oppressed and captive. Just open up your eyes. You'll find them. And then go in the authority that the Father gave me and bring healing to that world. I wonder this week, I wonder if tomorrow we go about our business, whatever that business be, if we would just look. Because when we see, you'll find the anointing of God to start the journey of healing. Why don't we stand this morning? Why don't you pretend that this jar of oil is limitless? It pretty much is. And as I prayed for Josiah and Bella this morning and put oil on them, maybe in our mind's eye, we could open up our hearts, open up our hands, and ask God to anoint us afresh. Maybe not to stand on stages, but maybe to anoint us afresh, to take a message of good news to a world that's broken around about us, to a world that's looking for answers. Because, my friends, we carry the answer. Our role. Hey, look, you got more oil there. You're my friend. Look at that. That's a better bottle. She's got it there. Yeah, thank you. Fresh from Jerusalem. I'm keeping that one now. You can have this one. God help me. Help me to have confidence. See, Jesus stood up boldly and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I wonder if you'd be bold this morning, just as you, in a meditative mindset, you'd believe that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you with this oil, not physical oil, the oil of His Spirit to reflect the heart of Christ, the true heart of Christ, to a world that's largely hurting. Father, right now across this auditorium, right now, just think of people in your world as you go tomorrow. Who's the hurting? Who's the broken? Start to let faith rise in your spirit. Say, God, you've called me to touch that life. You've called me to bring healing, to be part of a process in that person's life. You have put the anointing of Jesus Christ on my life to touch my world. And perhaps as people are praying here this morning, you're in this place and you're hurting. You're in pain. You're captive to the ways of the world, to the sin. Maybe you're in this place and you can see no hope for your future. Today I want to declare good news to you that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but would have eternal life. For He did not send His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That is His heart for you this morning. And all you have to do is respond in faith, that you would put your faith in Christ to heal and save your life. And if you're in this place, you have a need in your life. You know that everywhere you've looked has led you up a dry gully. And you say today, Gary, I've heard good news. Not just in my ears, but in my spirit, I've heard good news. And I want to respond. I want to follow Christ. I want to open my life to Him. If that's you this morning, why don't you raise your hand with me? Why don't you raise your hand? The anointing is in this place to touch you, to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free. Father, help us in Jesus' name. Help us to be the reflectors of Your light to this world in Jesus' name. You put your hand up. You put your hand up, did you? My gosh. Thank you. You can put it down. Ah, my God. A young man here has put his hand up to receive Christ. Can we all pray with him? Pray out loud, young man. Father, thank you for Christ. I put my faith in Him today. Lead me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Save me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.